Oh, yeah. There it is. In the studio this morning, there was actually a live band in playing some pretty good music when we walked in early this morning, about 7 o'clock.
That's some toe-tapping music.
That's some toe-tapping music, boy. But you can never, ever, ever beat CCR. Turn it up, Mike. All of you out in the garden, go ahead, pick up your shovel, pick up your rake, play a little air guitar between the mater plants.
If Landry's listening in her hospital room this morning, this is the first music she's heard.
I know. Can't get any better than that.
Got to start them young.
Can't get any better than that. Got to start them on the good stuff.
But she may be sleeping. She does that a lot. Kind of boring right now.
Nice. Come on. Nice and healthy baby. The Olympics edition of Rosie on the House with John Eisenhower of Integrity Tree Service talking trees today with a lineup of callers.
Including Kathy. Kathy, are you with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Yes, go ahead.
I have a Mexican lime tree. It's probably 6-7 years old now. The first couple years that we had more limes than we could really use. The past 3 years or so, we get lots and lots of blossoms. The fruit will start to form, and then everything falls off. We get maybe one or two limes out of the tree. Do you know what would be causing that?
Well, you know, I just was at a customer's last night who has a similar situation, and I have a lime tree, a really nice one. As you know, lime trees are the most susceptible to frost damage, so they are the first ones to get hit really hard. How did yours do the last couple of years? Was it frost damaged pretty badly?
Just the 1 year it got it. Last year was, but you know, it's we cover it. It's not huge, but it can't be covered. So it usually is covered when it is a frost, and it hasn't been that bad.
So it bore good fruit, and then the last year it hasn't been doing as well.
I'd say the last 3 years it's been totally maybe one or two.
Well, and how's the fertilizing? Is it pretty consistent regimen of fertilizer?
Yeah, we do it on the three separate times. It gets the deep water. I mean, it'll have so many blossoms, and then they just die off.
Yeah, that's interesting, too, because there's a period of time where the fruit is setting after the blossom is set, that it's very critical that we don't have any wind, you don't have any overwatering. You need to be careful not to overwater your citrus, because that can actually cause a blossom abortion. The tree will actually abort its blooms if it's waterlogged. So be real careful that you're, you know, spreading your watering out, over a longer period of time. You know, deep watering and then wait a long period and allow the root system to dry out before you water again. But there's different wind and weather events that can cause a tree to drop its blooms at a very critical time, right when it's trying to set fruit.
Killer.
It's killer. It's been a couple tough years for citrus, and
golly.
I think I wouldn't give up on it yet. It may not.
And the limes, too, seem to be the kind of a particular that way. I've had several customers, and even our lime tree will sometimes I'll have two fruit sets during 1 year with our lime, and other years it just doesn't want to produce. So a little bit different that way with limes.
With this warm weather, and as you mentioned, the last day of frost for most people below the rim, it's a great time for planting. And in the garden, as we're planting, it's we've covered it over and over and over again, but you know, something we don't talk about a lot is maybe teaching the next generation to plant. We've actually brought our friend Melinda Myers in this morning to talk to us about some ideas she's developed for getting that next generation involved. Good morning, Melinda.
Good morning. It's great to be chatting with you, and it's so nice to hear about citrus and blooming and all those wonderful things that I'm very green with jealousy, not with garden plants.
I think she's busy harvesting icicles.
I think you're right. Maybe I need to look at it as harvesting snow and ice rather than shoveling. But it is a great time for planting, no matter where you live, and planting for you guys. But thinking about, you're right, the next generation. You know, somebody inspired all of us at some point in our life, and so I think it's our opportunity to inspire someone else. And those little ones are a lot easier to inspire sometimes than maybe our spouse or friends.
And I've read some interesting things that you've published about keeping them interested from seed to harvest, because that can be a long waiting period of time in a world of instant gratification. Those 45, 60 days can be a little daunting.
Oh, you bet. Well, a couple things that you can do. One is I love to do microgreens and sprouts. So when you plant your garden, also do some sprouts or microgreens that are ready in about 5 days. And they can actually watch them grow in the jar or in that little fast food container with some seed starter mix. And sunflower seeds, if you've never done sunflower sprouts, oh, they are really crunchy and nutty flavored. And kids know sunflower seeds, so the fact that you can plant them and then munch on them in a week, the greens, it's a great healthy snack and quick results. So while you're waiting for those plants to start, the other thing is do a little artwork and planning, you know, some stones and paint and permanent markers. Well, maybe not permanent, depending on, put them in their old clothes away from the furniture out on the patio maybe, and get them to do, you know, markers, you know, draw a sunflower to put at the end of the row of sunflowers or a little tomato or just whatever they want, so that that's a fun way to keep them involved with the garden, but also busy while they're waiting for that first harvest of lettuce and that first batch of radishes. And I did a project with a daycare one time, and we planted, and you know, everybody loves to plant. Then it was time to thin the seeds. That's when all the kids went to the play set, except for about three. That's usually when you lose the adults, too. So we were thinning the radishes, and we were eating the greens from the radishes and the beets. And all of a sudden, those kids that were on the play set kind of came over and said, "What are you guys eating?" And I said, "Oh, the thinnings. Oh." So all of a sudden, we had a few extra hands helping us to thin out the veggies in the garden, those seedlings. So it was a little more fun if you can eat it. It's a little more fun if you think of harvesting rather than thinning the vegetables.
Get to your local nursery or plant center. You can. It is time to plant. Thank you, Melinda. She is a spokesperson for Milorganite. You can find in most of your local nurseries as well. And also the de-weeder, which is something we have bought and tested. And it's gotten the only like AAA+ of any product test we've done here at Rosie on the House.
Show archives and take Rosie on the go. Sign up for the Rosie on the House weekly podcast located under the media tab at rosieonthehouse.com.